Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Peace.
Thank you, all of the family heard around the world that's listening to us tonight for the Us Lifting Us Thursday Night Dare to Win call, where we have a sobering discussion about the imperative for black people to take control of the economics of our community, an exact methodology on building the economic machinery via a global cooperative family-centered economic model, and how to pass it forward to future generations. And tonight, the topic is going to be, and I've gotten off track for a minute. The topic is the new ULU, a clear path forward. The new ULU, which is standing for Us Lifting Us, a clear path forward. And I am Brother Thurman and an ULU member, and we welcome you to the call. And if you, we've got two different ways that you can be a part of this call, and that is to call in by telephone at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad when you have a question or comment. And also you can listen online, and you go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com, and when you get to the home page, you look for the gold bars, and you look to the right where it says ULU Radio, and you click on ULU Radio, and then you scroll down when that opens up, and you see a globe with the headphones on, and you click on Listen Live, and you will be able to be a part of the conversation by internet radio. And tonight, once again, the topic is The New Ulu, A Clear Path Forward. And on the line is our guest, Baba Hekima. Baba Hekima, who is one of the elder and founding members of Us Lifting Us. And Baba Hekima, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling great, brother. One of my friends, when I asked him that question, he said, I feel like a giant. So I feel like a giant, too. So I'm feeling good and looking forward to our conversation this evening, and always good to be with the family.
Good. And family, when you hear him say, like, he feels like a giant, family, if tonight we were going to delve down into the history of Baba Hekima, he absolutely is a giant. No maybe about it. No elaborating. He is a giant. And so take notes tonight and participate in the conversation. And if you're not already a member, you certainly need to take notes and make sure you go back to the website, usliftingus.com. The website is under construction, but we need each other now more than ever. We need to pool our resources and build this family-centered economics movement and put ourselves in a position of power and achieve our well-deserved freedom or return back to freedom, which we once had before the invaders came. And so, Baba Hekima, get us started tonight on the topic and where you want to begin with the topic, The New Ulu, A Clear Path Forward.
Well, thank you, brother, and thanks to all the brothers and sisters joining us by phone and by internet radio. And, of course, we must give special thanks to our members that are not stateside, you know, the members in Europe or Canada, Africa. So our members are listening wherever they are in the world. Before I get into the subject tonight, I just want to kind of set the tone because we have some very special work to do. The ancestors have allowed us to be here because there is some specific work that we have to do. You know, we owe a debt to our ancestors, but we also owe in a big way to future generations as well. Now, I want to just mention three things. And the first one, of course, is our history. Most of us understand who we are as African people on the planet and what we've gone through. So stick a pin in that. But we're here. We've survived. Those of us who are here and listening to this broadcast, we have survived. You know, not on our own, but we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. That's one thing. The second thing is said that $1.3 trillion flows through the hands of Africans in America on an annual basis. I'm not sure that figure is correct, but let's say that it is, or somewhat correct. $1 trillion. Some of us really don't understand what $1 trillion is, and the reason I want to go through this short exercise, because we're tripping. We are not taking care of business, and we must. $1 trillion, to wrap our minds around it, if I placed $1 million in your possession right now, and the next hour I put another million in front of you, the next hour another million, and I continue that all day, all week, all month, again at the rate of $1 million an hour around the clock, 24/7, and I continued that all year, it would take 114 years before we would reach $1 trillion. Again, at the rate of $1 million an hour around the clock, 24/7. Now, for a people that have gone through what we have gone through, and to be in a position where that kind of potential power is flowing through our fingers, we would have to chalk up or score ourselves as insane if we have not and are not involved in crafting systems and institutions that siphon and redirect a part of that flow through our fingers to empower us as African people on the planet. So that's the second thing. The third thing is, if we did a survey and we went among our people and we asked the question, do you think we should control the economics of our community? The vast majority of our people would answer emphatically yes. Now, most of our people have no idea how that could be done, but a good percentage of us are serious when we say yes, we should control the economics of our community. So what I'm suggesting is that it is clearly clear that among anything that we place on our agenda, our economic self-determination is paramount. It's the number one objective. No people in the history of mankind has ever risen to a position of respect and power in the world that did not control its own economics. So the question now is how? How do you do it? We want to. We've always wanted to. We point to, Black Wall Streets, and there was more than 100 communities of business excellence that we built in this part of the world. But we have been, the builders and administrators of empires, in many, many years ago on the continent and possibly in other areas and spheres of and locations on the planet. So the subject this evening is the new Ulu and a clear path forward. And the reason we chose the subject of a new Ulu, as most of us know, all of us on the planet are going through quite a trying time. And in Ulu, we had our annual members meeting and convention canceled because of the COVID viral pandemic. A little bit before that, we had to pull the pin, so to speak, on one of our major economic projects, Cafe Ulu. And so we have had the opportunity to really go in and introspect and really evaluate our plan, tweak it a little, reformat it. And so because of this time that we've had to reflect, we have used it well, and we have refortified and or repositioned ourselves for the kind of growth that we must have and that we are capable of. So the new Ulu and the clear path forward. Now, I just wanted to set that stage, Brother Thurman, and you may want to interject here or just let, allow me to go forward, whatever you think the time is, whatever your desire is.
Yes, Brother Baba Hakima, the time is good, and you're bringing clarity to the people. And I just want to say to the listening audience, if you, as we proceed in the conversation, you got any questions, so that you can make sure, we want to make sure that you have clarity of what Ulu is all about and what we're talking about tonight. You can reach us at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad. And Baba Hakima, if you could continue on, you were doing just fine.
Good. There are a good many among us, and of course, Us Lifting Us members who are clear that we must gain control of the economics of our community. It's not to say that we're going to control everything, but we want in our communities and in growing numbers to be the dominant economic force, commercial force in those communities. And so when we say a clear path forward, we're talking about a path to economic self-determination. And ULU exists for the sole purpose of providing leadership, along with other formations in this country and in the world, to help us move along that path. Again, that path is economic self-determination. Or, to say it another way, building an economy that we control and that serve the needs of our people. What I want to suggest is that if we're clear that that's what is needed, then it's really not that difficult to format ourselves and our people and our community for that goal. And the reason I say it's not that difficult if we focus there, but it is extremely difficult if we entertain the thought for a second that other people are going to adjust their systems, their ways to accommodate our needs. We have to be clear that that's our job, that nobody else's job. Now, what I want to do, and again, I want to echo what Brother Thurman said, is be prepared to ask questions, call in and ask questions. But there are four elements that, as we focus on, puts us in a position to incrementally build the economic power that we need so that we can gradually, incrementally, but certainly and assuredly create the economic space and power we desire. The first element, of course, is the form, the institution. Starting in 2011 with a study group and then cementing and culminating in 2013 with the legal formation of Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, we have put in place, solidly put in place, a legal construct. It's a limited liability company, but structured as a co-op that can accommodate thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of our people globally, not only individuals, but organizations as well. Now, a person who becomes a member of Us Lifting Us, essentially what that person or that institution is doing is becoming a partner, an equal partner in a limited liability company that has the desire to build the machinery of economic self-determination for our people. That's our goal. That's our mission. Now, members have the opportunity to participate with authority, to elect leadership, to ratify and approve of all the policies. But members also have the opportunity to put themselves in position for profit sharing or what you would typically call a dividend. And as we grow, this is going to be very significant, not a small thing, but a big thing. Now, membership in ULU is $50 to join, but every member is encouraged to acquire equity in the company and position themselves for profit sharing. And you can go, so that requires another step. But I'll just give you a sense of where we're going. For every 1,000 ULU members who secure themselves with an ownership share in ULU, that's $1 million. we will position ourselves so that that is like blinking an eye. Because 1,000 people with $1,000 each, $1 million, is no grand feat. So that's the element one. But in other words, the mechanism, the structural mechanism to start this process is already in place. And as I indicated a little earlier, members around the world. The second element that I want to talk about in terms of a clear path forward is the revenue, the skills, the will, the labor, the genius that we aggregate. We aggregate for the purpose of building, opening, running co-op businesses that we all own and that we all profit from. In other words, these businesses, even though they're located in a local community and have a particular staff that's salaried and whatever, and gain benefits, but these institutions are owned by all of us, and all of us can profit from them. Our flagship institution, secondary co-op, is the Us Lift and Us Market and Exchange, or what we call the ULU Mart for short. Envision in multiple cities, multiple countries, the existence of ULU Marketplace, a large edifice that is the hub of business activity in that neighborhood or that community, with features like farmers market, with a large consignment component, with auctions, with commercial kitchens, canneries, with stores and with booths and kiosks, with entertainment, with education, many, many components, a food court, I may have mentioned that, health stations. But the existence of marketplaces that are owned by us and that are the platforms where many of the brothers and sisters who are involved in commerce, in marketing, in moving goods and products and services have a place to show themselves. There's an online component to this as well. These will be configured in many ways, some of them adjacent to agricultural space, some of them adjacent to living space, so in different sizes depending on the community. So we use our resources, our talent, our skills to build components that give us greater capacity to use the dollars that flow through us and place them in a process that keeps those dollars circulating in our community longer. The third component is the membership organized in what we call UBCs, the ULU-based collectives. Think of these as chapters, if you would, of ULU members in different communities and in different countries around the world. And these collectives of ULU members do any number of things to support themselves, including coming up with business ideas. They would be the workers in the business. They would support and protect the businesses. But they would also do other things that related to the young people in the collectives. And we would build these collectives, again, all around the world. But a unique feature of these, or two things I want to mention that are unique to them, is that as we are starting new UBCs or ULU collectives, and you may want to call them chapters. Sometimes when you say chapters, people understand what you're talking about. We don't call them chapters. We call them UBCs. But these, from the leadership position and from the central management of Us Lifting Us, we will be opening and creating these UBCs in cities and in communities. But for the UBCs that are already in existence or the ones that we create, and as they grow, they will be organized so that once they grow to a certain level, they will actually split and become two. And so not only will we be starting from the administrative core of ULU new UBCs, but UBCs in the field and in communities will also be growing to a certain level and dividing and becoming populating in a form or a what we call social mitosis. In other words, they grow like viruses. In other words, once they reach maturity, they have the capacity to become, to separate and become another unit by keeping the same DNA, so to speak. The other major feature of the local UBC is their activity in the business community, and I won't go into great details of that, and brothers and sisters will learn more about this and what we call the ULU trade basket. But the local members of the UBC will participate in specific activity to help foster and build what we call trade baskets. And this is an attachment or net weaving with our already existing businesses in our community to bring them in alignment with the ULU empowerment plan, so that part of the revenue that's being generated by our support of black businesses in our communities, there's a way for part of that to flow back into ULU to build out the co-op businesses that we choose to build to keep this process moving. And, of course, the fourth element is, I've already mentioned it, is the trade basket. This is a global search engine for black-owned businesses that relate to consumers, business-to-business, business-to-government, and these will be, this platform will feature businesses through African-owned and operated businesses throughout the African world. But these businesses will be tied to and associated with ULU members who are motivated to build these clusters in communities. So unlike a business director that we are probably familiar with, I'll name one that I think most of us are familiar with, the Black Pages, and it's a very large listing. But there is not the direct connection between an informed and motivated collective on the ground and that platform. So that's a difference. These four elements together, working in harmony and in tandem with each other, give us the capacity to incrementally gain greater and greater control of the economics of our community. Without us going through detail, I don't expect most of us to understand this, but what it takes to build a Wall Street, a black Wall Street today, is in our grasp. One of the things, I just say this and I'll stop for questions. When we talk about Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Hayti in Durham, I just want to mention this one thing. In 1962, as a freshman at North Carolina Central University, I had the opportunity to travel with all the freshman class to go downtown and to go on a tour to the top of the tallest building in the city, Durham, North Carolina, in 1962. That building was North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company, a wholly black-owned insurance company. At that time, the richest African insurance and financial institution in the world. It still exists. But what it meant to me as a young person to be shown this edifice, the tallest building in a city owned by us, had an impact on me and the rest of us. So what I'm suggesting is that with our system, I'm not just suggesting it, I'm saying emphatically, we have the knowledge and the wherewithal to build new Black Wall Streets. But one of the things I want to point out before I stop is that all of the Black Wall Streets, Tulsa or Hayti and Durham, you cannot build it with the same force that built those, because those communities depended very much on forced segregation for their creation and for sustaining them over time. Even though we're separated and segregated still, but the powers to be have manipulated our tastes such that we are curious and we will shop across the tracks on the other side of the track. Of course, when Tulsa was in its heyday, you could get hung for shopping across the tracks. So the glue, the force, the energy that keeps that community together cannot come from the outside. It cannot be a threat that you can't shop anyplace else or force segregation. It's got to be something internal. It's got to be something that cements us together based on another set of presumptions, and that is reward and benefits. The system of empowerment that ULU offers our community is benefit rich, and not only rich for today, but rich in its ability to be in place for our children, grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. I'll stop there, brother, and if you're not careful, I'll be here 2 hours just rambling. Thank you, brother. Brother Thurman, are you there?
Yes, brother, I'm here. I missed a note, I had to check on my mother. But
okay.
Yes, you let's pause on that so we can continue this conversation, because it's just powerful, including what you were talking about, North Carolina Mutual and Hayti, and the fact that it's been done and we certainly can do it again. And so, family members, let's take a short pause, and we're going to come back and continue this vital conversation. Welcome back, family, and we want to continue this very good conversation about Us Lifting Us and the workings of Us Lifting Us. And our topic tonight is the new ULU, A Clear Path Forward, A Clear Path Forward. And the conversation has been very good. And Baba Hakima, we've got a couple of callers. Before you continue with your last points, would you like to take a couple of these callers?
For sure.
All right. Caller with the last four numbers, 1111. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from and with your question or comment.
Yes, Hotep. This is Brother Kevlon from Richmond, Virginia. His brother mentioned Black Wall Street and Tulsa and Durham, but I just gonna add to that part Black Wall Street in Richmond, Virginia, in the late 1800s. But my question is, once we get some established, and we got the history behind us, Tulsa and other areas, how do we protect the institutions? Since we saw what happened to Tulsa, have there been a historical analysis of what happened in Tulsa, and how do we protect an institution once built? And that's my question.
Thank you, brother. I love those last four numbers of your telephone number, 1111. That's great. Yeah, brother, that's always going to be a concern. And the instructive thing about Tulsa and the other communities, of course, Tulsa and Rosewood and some of the other ones that were brutally attacked. But that wasn't the thing that killed them, because even in Tulsa, we built back. If we were not attacked again, we would still build. But the attack, the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth time, was not in the same mode. In other words, they didn't take dynamite up in the air and bomb us again. So even in Tulsa and in Durham, what happened is that they began to manipulate us and open up the society, so quote unquote, so that you could take your dollars into the other community. So our taste was manipulated. Our motive was manipulated. Yes, we were attacked, but if we were left alone, we would have built those communities back again, and we did. And in every scenario, we would build them back together, because that's the natural urge of a people who are self-identified and isolated. They'll build it for themselves. But yes, think of what's happening in the streets today. Think of what might happen in the current climate if there was a community that was treasured by our people that was attacked. We are today in a much better position. I'm not saying that that's all that's necessary, but that the main thing is that we have the capacity to rebuild. Because think of it, you can build a community and a hurricane can come through and tear you down, or tornado. So any number of things can happen. But if the motive and the clarity is there that this is what we must do, and it's in us, we'll rebuild. But yes, we may have to come up with methods, specific methods, to make it unattractive for people to attack us. So every creature in every society must always consider its security, not only for the society but for its people. But I think that's an appropriate question. But I think the main thing is that the bombing wasn't what stopped us from developing these communities. Wall Street, the international bankers, the people in charge of commerce understood that they could no longer, or they could not forever, allow us to exist in these enclaves to develop for ourselves. Remember, Tulsa, and probably Durham as well, was so successful that Europeans came there to borrow money. So, you know, they wouldn't, they wouldn't allow that. So we were manipulated away from. But anyway, that would be my answer, and I thank you for the question. You were about to say something, Brother Thurman?
Yeah, thanks. I agree. Thank the caller. And you know, very very good response to the question. And we do have another caller, and I'd like to give them opportunity with their question or comment. And the caller with the last four numbers, 5921, please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from with your comment or your question.
Okay, good evening. This is Abdul Halim from Chester, Pennsylvania.
Hey, brother.
And hello, how you doing, Hakeem?
Good.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I thought about that myself. However, the question I have is concerning the method of, I guess, like waiting to start, or how are we going about our I guess our initial stages? Like what would be some of the, I guess, steps we can say would be some successes right off the bat, like some of the small things we can do to consider ourselves on the road to the bigger picture, because the groundwork is already there. We see,
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, one of the things we should never overlook is the business that we started in 2013. See, Us Lift and Us Economic Development Cooperative is a business. We bring in revenue every day. Now, it doesn't seem like a business because you don't offer a tangible product or service. We're more like a bank or a financial institution. So right now, we're still churning. Obviously, we lost some money with the experiment of Cafe Hulu, but we're rebuilding. So never lose sight that that's a business entity with all of the mechanics of any business. The next business we'll start, at least I'm suggesting that we'll start, is the trade basket. And that business has a lot of potential. This is a search engine. This is an online business. It's a search engine and directory that's tied to the Hulu members on the ground. And it's a subscription-based business, and the businesses that list with us and become a part of the search engine, the price points are $50 a month. But there'll be tons of benefits for them and as a part of our process. But 1,000 businesses that subscribe to this particular online platform, that's $50,000 a month in revenue. And we have the good potential to have, with the build-out of this platform, 50,000, 100,000 subscribers. So that's a tangible business that we are thinking through logistically and formatting as we discuss. But our primary business, but beyond Hulu, that I just mentioned, the Us Lift and Us Market and Exchange, or the Hulu Mart for short. We don't want to lose sight of that project. That's our primary project. Now, when we do the numbers, we're going to talk about $4 or $5 million project. But again, that's not a lot of money. But it has a lot of benefits because you involve other businesses in the communities, even younger people, or you involve the farmers, you involve the craftsmen, you involve many people who need a thriving market. There are a lot of brothers and sisters who are very creative, but they do not have a friendly marketplace to share with the public. Think of Hulu owning a marketplace where you got several thousand people per day coming in and out of it, buying and selling trading, being entertained, being educated, meeting with people, but also with an online component to that. So that's our primary move. Now, in between where we are now and the opening of our first Ulu Mart, there will be opportunities that will come to us, and when we evaluate them, it'll make sense for us to do. That's what Cafe Ulu was. We really were not prepared to open that business, but we created the legislation on the books. We have the ability to create small businesses on the way to the Ulu Mart as long as those businesses are under $100,000. So any number of things may appear. Now, keep in mind that a lot of times when you think about starting business, you think about startups. We're open to buy businesses that are already in existence and have hopefully have a positive cash flow as well. But there are any number of ideas that are floating and other ideas that will come to us. But the trade basket, that search engine can be brought online fairly quickly. When I say fairly quickly, I don't mean in a couple of weeks, but several months, and tested and the work done in the field to bring it online. And believe me, these UBCs, as we build them and strengthen them and sustain them, they will have a ton of ideas of new businesses, new co-op businesses for their local community. The thing that we must fortify ourselves against is being overwhelmed with business ideas and to develop the capacity to really analyze them, do business plans, and position ourselves for success.
Mm-hmm.
But the Ulu Mart and the trade basket, I would point to. Thank you for the question.
Okay, very good.
Beautiful. And thank you for the assistance that you've been as well.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man.
Good. Any other questions, comments? What time are we looking at, Brother Thurman?
We've got about 12 minutes, so now we don't have callers or comments right now.
Beautiful.
Continue on, because the conversation is just so powerful. And it shows that there's a lot of work has been done to organize, to format the Ulu model, and it's certainly more than we can get into an hour. And so for the family members and new people, there's just a lot of working pieces that has brought the Ulu model into place, and we've just got to go forward with the various upcoming projects, including the trade basket, the Ulu Mart, and I just love it, Baba Hakima, how you bring in such clarity, and even when you use the term a friendly marketplace, because a lot of us haven't even thought about it. We don't have friendly marketplaces, and I know you could speak on when it comes to the black farmers. Do the black farmers generally have a friendly marketplace to go to?
No, not at all. Reliable, you know it's there. And then you create the commercial kitchens and canneries right there on the spot. So you don't even let the produce that goes a little beyond its dating. You find a way to add value to that. So there are so many components to the Ulu Mart. I had a friend to visit Cuba recently, and he went into a marketplace similar to what we call the Ulu Mart. And there was capoeira, what the martial arts, demonstrations, music demonstrations. So not only are you in a marketplace, but you almost like you're on a cruise ship. You're being entertained. There are food courts. You can do any number of things in there. We in our original business plan, we envision being able to drop off your children, little ones, while the adults shop or had entertainment. But one of the things I want to point out in this the time we have left, African people are the fastest growing people on the planet. We will soon outnumber the Chinese. We are benefit rich with intelligence, training, skills, everything that you can think of. The main thing in our discussion this evening is that we just got to slow down a minute. And if you want to go wherever you want to go, you got to know where you want to go. Then you have to put in place what it takes to get you there. And you can't depend on nobody else to do that. There's a good example right now in the world. We've talked about it for the past year or two. The Belt and Roads Initiative that the Chinese have, it's called the New Silk Road. If you look at their map of where they are building out, it includes America. There is one sliver of their Belt and Roads Initiative that comes through Alaska, down the West Coast into Central and South America, but it goes through the United States. So they're planning. So it's in Africa and Asia, Central and South America. The Chinese, with this initiative, is plotting how they can get back to where they were. The Chinese, before the Europeans, were the major power on planet Earth. And the notion that the sun never set on the British Empire, well, clearly the sun never set, you know, on the Chinese Empire, because they were seaworthy and that. But when you go and Google the BRC or Belt and Roads Initiative or the New Silk Road, understand that these people, 100-year plan, and even out further than that, but they have fashion in their minds and spirits, and they have lined up their engineers, their planners, and their thinkers, and they're going into Africa, they're going into everywhere, and they are tying their future into projects. They're building canals, railroads, physical roads for vehicles, digital roads in the air, of course. And so this New Silk Road is impressive, not because of the engineering that's involved in it so much as the will of the Chinese people. They will to rule this planet, and they have developed the tool to do it. Africa will be ruled by China by default if Africa doesn't develop its own plan for rulership. China will overtake America, will overtake Europe at a point, and already Mandarin is being taught in the schools in Africa. Chinese folk dance is being taught to our people in Africa. And millions of Chinese are moving to Africa to set up new villages. So not only are they bringing in their roads, their dams, their canals, and all the other structure, but they're bringing in their culture. So I just point to that, and I say, Brother Thurman, to you, and I say to everybody else on the call, we have and have always had the intelligence to build anything that we want to build. And I'm suggesting to every brother and sister on this call, and I want you to transfer this energy to everybody that you know. The wisdom, the knowledge, the genius that it took to build the pyramids, that is still with us. It hadn't gone anyplace. We've simply got to tap into ourselves, be clear that because we have life, dominion is ours. In other words, we don't have to ask anybody to be self-determined, to be self-rulers, to have dominion. The fact that we were born, that we exist, gives us all the permission we need. But if you throw away, well, I'll just say this, and I bring this brother's name up very often, Ezra Aharon, his first book was Pawned Sovereignty. He suggests that in a pawn shop, anything that you take into a pawn shop, you trade it for something of lesser value. You trade something of greater value for something of lesser value. African people have traded something of greater value for something of lesser value. We have traded our dominion to be a part of Europe, America, the Chinese. But again, I want to suggest that the genius that built the pyramid, or whatever we may call it, it's still with us. We must tap into it and accept nothing less. The only excuse for African people not ruling this planet, the only legitimate excuse is our annihilation, the fact that we've been exterminated. If we've not been exterminated, then we have no excuse not to develop systems and ways to protect and defend our people, our lands, our nations, our history, our posterity. We have that as not a right, that's an obligation. If you have a navel, if you can point to your belly and you see you got a navel, you know you didn't get here by yourself. We have a responsibility to build Ulu. And I'll say this, we must value the work of brothers and sisters in the community around African-centered education, around projects, around economic development, around, you know, any number of things around agriculture and security, and we must cherish that work. But the work of installing an economic system that becomes an economy is the work of Ulu. We must demand of brothers and sisters in the community to allow us that space. Well, we're gonna dominate that space anyway. But anyway, it's important for those of us to understand that you're going to build a railroad. The job of laying the tracks is one job. The job of driving a locomotive is another job. We are laying the tracks so that our people can then have a clear path to run on. That path has to be solid. It has to be level. It has to be substantial, because there's going to be a lot of weight. And in some cases, that weight is not going to be stable. It's going to shake. So we've got to build a foundation. So that's the work of Ulu. But we're on the job. We're on the mission. And go ahead.
Yes, brother. You have done a great, great, great speech. As one of our great ones, Baba Hakima. Can we we got one more caller.
Beautiful.
He may have very good words for us. A caller with the numbers 3176, 3176. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from with your question or comment.
Greetings, family, and greetings to you, Brother Thurman and Baba Hakima.
Hey, brother.
I realize that the time is just about away from us. I just want to say thank you for making so clear to us the strength of the Ulu Cooperative as the mechanism that enables us to express our sovereignty and our dominion and right to be on the planet. So the only question I would ask, that maybe you address as you close, is how can we make sure that we as a people grasp the opportunity that this primary cooperative affords us? You had mentioned earlier about our mental state was manipulated after Tulsa was destroyed initially. And you alluded to the fact that we're still somewhat manipulated mentally. So speak to that perhaps in your closing comments about how we expand our minds to begin to see ourselves in light of being able to rebuild pyramids or whatever else it is that we decide we want to do. Thank you.
Yes, that's a very powerful and very important question. And my response is that there are probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of us, who are now waiting for this idea, who are eager to join with such an energy. Now, what we got to do to get to them is not necessarily convincing, it's sorting. In other words, we may have to go past a good number of brothers and sisters to get to them because they're there. They're like those of us on the call. We were already prepared for this. So we have to develop ways of finding those brothers and sisters. But the key is that we have to engage them in building the clear example for the others. So our task is to build, maintain, and show. In other words, the proof is in the tasting. I think there's a saying that nothing spurs success like success. So that's our job. There are, I would say, millions of us who are already psychologically, mentally prepared for this work. The thing we cannot afford to do is to attract a brother or sister and not be prepared to integrate their energy, their time, their gifts into building this project. Very often in community, we do things to attract people to us, and we're not prepared to love the energy that comes to us and enfold that energy and make it an integral part of what we are building. But I think that's the challenge, because look at Black Lives Matter. I'm still mystified by this thing. I saw, and we're going to probably go over time, but I want to just say this. I was looking at BBC TV today, and in the several Southeast Asian countries, the Black Lives Matter movement has attacked cosmetic companies, manufacturers, for selling bleaching cream to Asians who associate darkness or darker skin with being a laborer and working out in the sun. So they are buying bleaching creams and making themselves a little lighter. So we're familiar with that in West Africa as well. But the entity that's attacking the companies in Southeast Asia is the Black Lives Matters movement. We got to know that movement is not black folk. I mean, we're involved. We're the face of it, you know, and everybody is. So this global movement of quote-unquote Black Lives Matters is something that I think we should appreciate from this standpoint. People know what they want. They're putting the resources behind it, and they're doing it. Whether you like it or not, they're doing it. They have an agenda. They have mastered social media, mastered and manipulated other politicians and businesses and whatever else, and they're doing what they do. That's self-determination. You know, it may be whatever. But the question is, we've got to do what we do well, excellent, better than anybody else. And it's that whole field of dreams thing. If we build it, they'll come. Thank you for the question.
Yes, Baba Hakima.
Yebo.
Family members, I'd like to say to you, take your right hand and a fist and rub it on your heart and send some love out to Baba Hakima for this powerful conversation, vital conversation about how we're going to get back in our rightful place. Just send him some silent love. Thank you, brother, Baba Hakima. And as we take this voyage on the way into our dream time tonight, Baba Hakima, did you want to give us any other words of wisdom before we completely stop the call?
Well, I would just encourage each of us to appreciate your existence, your being, our being. We're here. And there's no more powerful force on the planet than us, than the life force that is in us. We can choose to bend that life force to serve others, or we can choose to bend it or allow it to serve the world that we want to build. If we focus on the world that we want to build, the rest of life will get out of our way. It has no choice. The rest of life will get out of our way. But if we're not clear that not only do we deserve, but that we must express ourselves fully, we're not enemies of life or enemies of everything, anything. But remember, and I'll close on this, remember the acorn, the little acorn that you placed underneath your house. And you find a way to nurture it and cause it to grow. It will move your house. It won't move it out of belligerence. It won't move it out of anger. It'll move it just out of the force and the power of it seeking to be itself. And the world will move out of our ways as we let go of everything other than our empowerment, our dominion, our responsibility to create the life. If we are big and bad enough to give birth, to be bringing children into the world, we got to be big and bad enough to control the environment that we bring them into. And so I'll just close at that, Brother Thurman.
Yes, brother. Thank you so much. And family members, we thank you so much for being on this call. This has been another powerful call brought to you by Us Lifting Us and its loyal, loving members. And we'll be back here next Thursday. And Baba Hakima, once again, we all thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your love and your guidance. And family members, be well, be safe, and go out on a good voyage tonight and get it. I'm going to let the Spirit speak.
I say it.